Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. We're back from the international break and we won't mention the England game. We'll just skip by that. That didn't happen. But here we are, Falkirk Daft. I'm your host, John McInally. And as ever, joined by the Ginger Gordon Pod, head of the main stand, Ultras, the Sweetie Rustlers, that's what he's calling them. It's Ross Wayne.
The Sweetie Rustlers it was indeed yesterday, wasn't it?
Good yes, evening. Good to be back at the football, isn't it? Yesterday's first home game since the... Still in Albion.
I think, yeah. It's been at least, was that nearly a month, wasn't it?
I know, it just feels like it's been so, so long, but it was good to be back in the stadium. Ross's drive to get 5,000 people in the stadium. We got 4,500 in yesterday, which is good work.
Brilliant crowd. Considering there's not going to be many in the away end, as
that's the problem this season, isn't it? Because like last season, you obviously had Dunfermline and Airdrie bringing decent crowds, but yeah. I don't know what kind of crowd Hamilton will bring.
I don't know because I've not actually looked to see what sort of crowds they've been getting, to be honest. But I'd be disappointed if they didn't bring through 400 or 500. You would assume that they're good for bringing that through.
We usually take a squad through to Hamilton when we play them, don't we?
I would say we'll take sort of 1,000 to 1,500 through Hamilton when we play them this season. So, it was a little bit of a lower away crowd than I think I even thought yesterday, because kind of said a really good result against someone recently. In fact, it might have been Partick Thistle in the Challenge Cup, so you would have thought that would have maybe brought a good number through to ourselves yesterday, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, just looking at that, actually, I've just grabbed up their average attendance. That can't be right. 1,200 average, that can't be right, surely. Aki's, yeah, that can't.
It's probably there or thereabouts, I would have thought.
So, I mean, that's come right down from Aki's what it used to be.
I've never been massively supported, to be honest with you, bud. But I in this league, I would have guessed about 1,000 home fans. So if they bring 400 or 500 through us, that's maybe a success.
Yeah.
No, they've never been massively supported. Remember when you used to see even last year, there were some of their championship games were on TV. That home end was particularly sparse. At New Douglas Park. So, yeah, if they can bring through 400 or 500, I'm sure that'll be our first 5,000-plus crowd at the start of August. Definitely.
Fingers crossed for that. We obviously had the week off last week, so what did you do with your Saturday last Saturday, Ross?
It was a lovely day. Yeah, no, it was good. It was my daughter's birthday last weekend, so we had a few meals out and stuff like that, and we had a wee party and stuff, so no, it was all good. What about you?
Well, I got done a dirty. I decided to take a wee venture down to the Stenismuir Cricket Club for a couple of pints, because it was a beautiful day, and there's nothing better than sun and a bit of cricket, but I was outed as a cricket fan by a couple of Falkirk Daft listeners, which I met down, Rob and Jamie. Jamie, over from America, Elliot's boy. I mean, fortunately, he was over for his dad's funeral, and he was, you know, Rob showed me Jamie's a piper as well, and an amazing piper at that, and he piped his dad down to the crematorium. But it was great to meet Jamie. Obviously, I'd like to have met him in better circumstances, but they did me a dirty, and they outed me as a cricket fan.
They did. I got a couple of, when I was out for lunch last Saturday, I got a couple of DMs on Facebook from... Robert and Jamie saying, oh, I see John's here. And I was like, oh, right, is he? And then they sent me pictures on. So, yes, you were definitely outed as a...
That was good. Listen, can I beat a bit of sun and a bit of the cricket? It's all right.
I'm looking.
No having it. I'll get you down there, don't worry. Oh, no, the cricket season's over now. So, you've had it next summer, mate. That's a shame. What a shame. Listen, great to say thanks very much to our sponsors. Of course, Haldane Construction. Big supporters of the club. You'll have seen them on the side of the stand. They sponsor the Legends bit as well. Been delivering construction and building projects throughout the Central Belt for 2 decades now. If you want to get them, get in touch with them, because we're going to deliver highest possible professional quality and ethical construction standards while ensuring a competitive edge. So Peter and the boys are there. I'll give you a good price if you're looking to get an extension or something on your house. They're also at this moment as well, Peter got in touch with me, Ross, saying they're looking for a time serve joiner. So if you want to join the team at Haldane, get in touch with them right now. I mean, you will get them on all the social channels where you'll find more details on the job. Haldaneconstruction.co.uk, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or you can drop them an email if you are a time serve joiner looking for work, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. He also says, give a shout out to, they're heading to the Master Builders UK Awards on Friday. You know, they've won a lot of awards and stuff, so they're heading down to London for on the piss. Fantastic. I'm sure they'll have a great time down there. But I'm saying they're on the piss, but I'm sure they're not. I'm sure it's all going to be very serious, Peter and the guys. But yeah, they're going to be down in London on Friday for the Apprentice of the Year UK. It's Noah and the Building Company of the Year UK for the whole team and company. So fingers crossed they come back with some awards, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that on next week's podcast as well. So thanks very much, Haldane Construction, sponsors of Falkirk Daft. Let's look at some news from the club. A couple of young boys going out on loan. I've seen this bit, the third choice keeper, Owen Hayward. He joined Penny Cook, while midfielder Shea Burke has joined Drumchapel. Young boys, Owen's 18, Shea's 17, central midfielder. Both kind of come through the academy system. So they're going out to get pay their dues out in the leagues and just getting some, good experience behind it. Because, that's, we're going to start looking. We've seen this season a lot of the young boys popping up on the bench. Young Honeyman's got himself a goal earlier in the season. So it's good that we can see these players starting to come, and we're starting to get players back out on loan and loan me.
No, I totally agree, John. It's a really good experience for them. Penny Cook, especially from Hayward's perspective, hopefully he goes in as the first choice goalkeeper. He's obviously got a tough issue at Falkirk in the basis that we've got some really two experienced goalkeepers just now.
We've got two very good young goalkeepers at the moment. Absolutely. When you get 20-year-old Sam, and then you've got Nicky sitting on the bench there as well. He's not really had a sniff, but we obviously played against there, but...
Yeah, no, that's it, and he did very well against there. So it's a good position to be in from the club's perspective. So the fact that we can put Owen out on loan to Penny Cook and Shea out on loan to Drumchapel as well, probably not two of the biggest clubs in the world, but you know what? Actually,
that's the level we're at the moment, Ross. That's the sad absolutely part of it. So the
big thing is though, they're joining two physically demanding football leagues. And they're going to be playing against a range of skills and physicality, I'm sure. So it'll definitely do them some good, 100%.
Absolutely. We got someone in through the door as well. Like, it just kind of came out of nowhere this week. Ethan Ross, the younger brother of Seb Ross, former Falkirk player. And, in all accounts, a lot of Raith Rovers supporters are scratching their heads going, why have we let go? He's been a bit of a standout. I mean, in saying that, Raith are absolutely flying top of the championship at the moment. But yeah, he's joined on loan till January, presumably to cover the kind of gap that's been missing with McGinn and Miller's injury.
I would think so. It's a brilliant signing, first and foremost. Yeah. Regardless of the injuries, I'd be happy to have Ethan Ross signing all day long. We've obviously came up against him before. John McGlynn knows him, knows all about him anyway. In terms of what he brings, obviously, I don't know if he showed it yesterday. We'll talk about the game in a minute. But you can tell he's obviously not played an awful lot of football recently, because his fitness definitely looked to take its toll, maybe about 60 minutes onwards. But he definitely has got something about him. The Raith fans were really disappointed, as you said, to lose him. And they would have been more than happy for him to have been a big part of the Raith campaign this year, as they're obviously chasing the the title to go up to the Premier League. So, granted, it's only until January. So, hopefully, he does fantastically well. The trouble is, if he does fantastically well, there's a good chance that they'll recall him in January. So, but then, who knows where they'll be at. They may well have a settled team at that point as well, and there might be something that we can do. I don't know. Has he just recently signed a new deal?
I don't know.
Because if he's out of contract at the end of this season, then we should be definitely sniffing about him. It's what position we're in. Because obviously, we're in the Championship by that point. Then we're a lot more attractive than not being. So
yeah, but we'll see how he does. We'll see how he does. We'll get into his performance actually when we get into the game against Queen of the South. The AGM announced it's going to be held on Thursday, the 5th of October at 7 o'clock in the Westfield Cap. Shareholders' packs will be posted and emailed out next week, so keep your eye out for that. And obviously, a very important meeting to get on so we can see where we are in terms of the club. Will you be going yourself, Ross?
I actually think I'm on holiday at that point. No,
I was on holiday, you man. Eh? Jesus, can he hide that money? Eh?
It's the school week, so we're heading off. I'm actually, frustratingly, we'll miss the Ackies game, the big Ackies game on the 7th of October. However, the gods have been shining on me and the BBC have put it on Alba, so I will at least see the game, but from a sunbed, unfortunately, rather than my usual seat in the main stand.
Nice. Other news, and our friend Chris, who we sit beside and stands, is gutted about this. This guy has played the 50-50 as long as I've known going to the football, and now his chances have been diluted even further. Heinze is gutted about this. Now you can now buy your 50-50 tickets online. Hopefully that takes a wee bit of work off Gene as well, you know, in the main stand. You know, it's like people can get them on air because Gene's up. And I mean, Jesus, Gene's still going, selling the tickets.
She's amazing. She's
but the full family now do it, you know.
I know. Well, that's it. There are the generations of Bairns fans selling the tickets. And it is. It's amazing, isn't it? She's like a Falkirk legend.
Absolutely. Listen, the legend stand, it should have been a picture of Jean up on that legend stand.
She's done a huge amount for the club, as you say, as the family have as well. So, but this, again, is another good little marketing.
It makes sense in 2023 why we've not done it before. We obviously did it during COVID, didn't we? So
we did. Yes, we did do it during COVID. I actually just assumed after COVID it would have continued to be.
Aye. So you can get your half-time 50-50 draw tickets now online as well.
How does that work, though, if one of the 50-50 winners, you know how the second prize is to like have a shot at the crossbar? That's
they're not at the goal. They'll draw again, Ross. They'll draw again.
Well, yes, that's very true. They might just do one.
That's what's happened. But then still go and see Gene, because I'm sure Gene likes a wee bit of a chat as well during the game. So go and see Gene as well. Right, okay. FSS, Falkirk Sports Society, and the club have issued a joint statement as announced at the end of May following receipt of Scottish Government fans loan. FSS purchased $875,000, became the largest shareholders. As a result, the site acquired 24.3% of the shares. We've been over this so many times. The be-all and end-all is now that the FSS have got over the 25% of shareholding, and now we have went from a fan ownership model to a fan-funded model, because we've got all the shares there, which is great news. Fan-owned and fan-run now, and means we basically become fan-funded now. So the important part of this is that your donation now is not, and I think this is important that FSS members know, it's going straight into the club. You're not buying shares now as being an FSS member. I think that's really important to point out. It is now a fan-funded scheme, and that is going into to fund
the playing budget, I think, was the
and the youth academy as well. I mean, that's two places, I think, if you ask any Falkirk supporter, that's where you want to see the money go.
100%.
Into development, and to rebuild the academy, and obviously into the playing budget. I'm sure, you know, we wouldn't have been able to get Ethan Ross in if it hadn't been for this.
Well, in terms of so obviously the FSS and the club have explained in the last episode we had the update from both, that the new monies that was raised has now allowed us to bring in two players, which is amazing, because had we not, had the club and the FSS not done that agreement, then we wouldn't have had those two extra players. And I tell you one thing, the bench would have been extremely young yesterday without it. So, in fact, we probably had two keepers at the bench yesterday just making up the numbers. But, yeah, no, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I think we're now in a place where you mentioned being fan-funded, John. So we're in this league, we're pretty much fan-funded anyway because the sponsorship money that the club gets from the league and TV companies is so, so low that the vast majority of the money that comes in is from the fans. So it's your season tickets, it's your retail, it's people buying shares, it's people buying hospitality, paying at the gate, you name it, that's how we're funding the squad. Especially in this league. And that probably won't change that much in the Championship. Like, it'll go up a little bit, so you'll get a bit more money for TV in the Championship. And obviously, the better you do, your prize money for finishing higher in the league goes up as well. But I think, did I not see last season that the team finishing bottom of the Championship got something like three times the money that Dunfermline did for winning League One? So it just shows you the difference in money between the divisions is really huge.
Yeah. On FSS as well, actually, the fans director election is happening. There's the vacant director position. We've talked about it, how important it is to have a strong member on there that can, you know, represent the supporters on there. So I think that's now just passed on midnight on Friday the 18th. So we should, it's 11th of September. I've not actually seen it because there's going to be a voting system, but I've not seen that up yet. So I'm just hoping.
I've not seen any outcome or from it, but I know I did see a little bit online, and for the life of me, John, I can't find where I saw it. But I think in the interim, the FSS are going to co-opt someone from the committee onto the board so that there's a support there, because obviously Nigel's currently the FSS board member, and so I think if they're co-opting someone on in the meantime, then that's a good idea as well.
I'd like to say I would really like to see someone that's not a patron on that, taking up that position, and it's good that if they've co-opted someone from the committee, someone that's going to be able to hear the voices of the supporters and get on there, get the voice said. And, you know, we've obviously, the guys are doing such a really good job at the board, but there's, you know, like in any business, sometimes there needs to be someone there to ask questions, and that's what you want to see the FSS do, you know.
John, just on the back of the what you said there about the voice of the fans, or so, as apart from Nigel, obviously, as we know, that's currently there, Kevin Beattie is the supporters' liaison officer, the SLO, I think, is the short term. So he's done brilliantly so far. Now, he is on the FSS committee. He's not directly onto the board, as we know. Hopefully, Kevin, I don't know if Kevin's interested in that role, but he's done brilliantly so far. He's obviously heard the moans and gripes from the fans.
My God, he heard a lot. Imagine being that. What a position that's got to be. Jesus, hearing the moans and gripes of a Falkirk supporter.
And he's heard it and he's done it well. He's put
part-time psychologist Kevin as well.
Yeah, he's put stuff in motion, like the singing section, and that's obviously going really, really well. And there's other initiatives that he's been involved in as well. So Kevin's been fantastic. He is a spokesman and a voice for the fans at this point too. But I listen, we talked about it last time. Let's The FSS now has a huge shareholding within the club, and it's only right that the representation in there is the two seats, not just one. But let's watch this space, and maybe hopefully between now and next week's podcast, we'll see what the state of play is there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've obviously read Pine Brovel's, been some dissension on Pine Brovel's. There's chat about it. But, you know, like Ross says, if everyone's happy, if the FSS are happy, if the club are happy, you know, we as supporters, we should be happy as well. And hopefully,
I'm sure we are, John. 700-odd members, 730 members, or whatever it was, and remains is still continuing to support the supporter society and the club after the agreement in place. And yeah, there's obviously a few who have not been as supportive and have maybe stopped. Not supporting the club, far from it, but in terms of supporting the FSS, in terms of the funding and the how they're going, that's obviously everybody's individual and makes their own minds up. But I think the vast majority, it sounds like, of current membership is happy with the agreement that's in place, and we definitely need to move on and get the hell out of this league.
The one thing I would like to probably say to tie a bow on this, Ross, though, is with the obviously now being fan funded and us putting the money and not being able to buy shares. And I don't, there's no, as far as I'm aware, further share plan for
no, the club said that.
Yeah, but if there was a further share plan that are, and I'm sure there will be, the like for example, the money that's been put on that gets ring fenced for the FSS to then buy up. You know what I mean? So that if there was a further share option, there was.
I'm sure there will be, John, because the existing shareholders get first dibs on any new shares that are offered.
But if they can't afford, they're in ring fence for the FSS, and that's the shares don't get diluted. So, let's get on from that and get into the football now, shall we? And every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to invite a guest pundit on. We've not had one of them. Well, we had Julius last week, but you know. That was Lewis. But every week on Falkirk Daft, we'd like to invite a guest pundit on, and this week is no exception. So please welcome to Falkirk Daft, Derek Steele.
Good evening, sir.
Hi, lads. Come on, you bairns.
Come on, a bit more gusto than that, Derek.
I will. Hey, here we go.
Derek, well,
since 1876, all right. Kind of up surging that a wee bit.
Well, listen, Derek, if you're watching the video version, you'll see Derek in a very dark room. He's not in some sort of goth video. He's actually, or being held in some sort of horror movie. He's in his garage room. So he's been kicked out of the house and put into the garage for this.
That's because I put the heating on in the house and the wife's going to kill me.
Yeah. Oh, have you faltered? Have you put your heating on?
I've got it on. Aye.
I've
dismembered her. I just took one left arm off her. Just so as I could get the heating on.
This surprises me, Derek, because usually in relationships it's the woman that puts the heating on and there's the battle of the thermostat commences, but you've put it on.
I don't know what it is. She must be going through the change, but when you get to 75, you go through the change, so I'll let her off with that.
I hope she's not listening to this or watching this,
No, she's not. She will do later.
You're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Listen, Derek, great to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you,
need to get into it. We speak to one of our guest pundits about it. What's your kind of first Falkirk memory?
The first one was being with my dad and my younger brother, and we had an uncle. I can't even mind his name. He's a friend of the family. And
can't he mind your uncle's name?
No, I can't mind his name. It wasn't a fiddly uncle. It was just an uncle. And what he did was the two of them were obviously drinkers together, and the first memory I had was going to Brockville when we beat Queen of the South 7-5 it must have been late 60s, 68, 69 time, because I was born in 63, and I remember it, and we won 7-5 and it was 3 each at half time, and I'm sure we were 3-0 up, lost 3 goals. Went to 3 each at half time, and I thought, every game's going to be like this. This will be amazing. And Johnny Graham scored for Falkirk. I just, honestly, on Friday night, just to kind of get my mind set for the night, I watched the Brockville Memories video. Johnny Graham was videoed, was interviewed on that, and I'll never forget that. He scored a hat trick that day, and they won 7-5 at home, playing in navy white and blue stripes, by the way.
Oh, wow. Which,
aye, we did. If you look back your shirts, I'm sure the Bairns started in a yellow kit. If you go back to the right in the beginning, we started in a yellow kit. I think Ross will maybe, you know, have a wee idea of that, and it kind of evolved for that.
I was wondering why we always used a yellow kit for an away, so that must be the reason that we have used yellow across the years, because I didn't realise that myself, Derek.
I think that's where it's came from.
Aye.
Maybe a lot of folk don't know that. I hope that's. But I mean, I've always loved the yellow kit. I've always loved the yellow kit, and I've always loved the red as well, because all the red synonymous with the socks and. Yeah. And I mean, I just there's some about a yellow kit. A red and yellow. Maybe we could combine them for next season.
This is it.
There's a rumor that there's going to be a third kit coming out.
Ah, well, there you go.
There we go.
colour that might be.
Yellow and red. Yeah. Yellow, we kept with red shorts. There we go. That's a, be a first. Brilliant. So we always say out with the big kind of three players, but I mean, you've been supporting the club for so long, Derek. Who's your favourite player of all time?
It's got to be Crunchy.
Oh, so you can't have Crunchy. He's one of the Holy Trinity. You can't have Crunchy. You can't have Lapper. You can't have Stainrod. Come on.
I know.
Give us some cult hero.
I've got to go back to the Tommy McQueen was super for us.
Aye.
Tommy McQueen was super for us. And of course, Yogi and, you know, the days. But there was some unsung heroes as well with Billy Stevenson in the 80s when, you know, he scored this. He ran the length of the park and scored against Dunfermline in a 4-0 win at home. There was so many. Before I was young and you didn't really expect to see us win the league. You just wanted to see Falkirk winning games.
Yeah.
When you were a young punter and just get pissed and go to the games and have a carry on with your pals. And
it's no change, does it?
It's no change. Well, it has changed for me. I take the cab now.
I heard you were in with the Ultras, Derek. Is that not true, no?
No, the Ultras, aye. Ultra Baldies, aye. Maybe. maybe that. But no, I still love seeing the boys. When I looked down to the left yesterday, I still love to see that. And there's one flag in particular took me back to the old days where the Graham High School flag, the Graham High School scarf was, and I'm for Grangemouth, so I knew about this later on, was a very, very dark navy. The white was more cream and a dark red. And one of those flags is identical to that colour scheme. And I thought, it's just synonymous with it. It's just perfect. It's perfect for our football club. Just old school. I've got an old knitted scarf that I got given to me from a lovely old guy that I worked with called Hector Robertson. A lovely old, what a gemmy a guy. And I love the scarf. He would wear it in the winter because we were cable jointers and he would wear it in the winter. And I would always go to him, heck, fuck, what a scarf that is. Okay, and that's a Bairns scarf. He went, no, that's a fucking Graham High School. And see, just as he retired, he went, there's only one guy I can give this to. And he gave it to me. And I've still got it.
Oh, really?
I've still got that amazing scarf. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautifully knitted scarf by a company called McTighe's, which I think was a Greenock company.
Oh. Yep.
That's old school. That's old school, Ross, hey, boy.
Indeed,
you're not silk scarf nonsense, Ross. With you, like you, you know, in that main stand with the Ultras. Not a silk scarf. That's a proper scarf right there.
There we go.
Tommy McQueen, your favourite player. Tommy was unbelievable. Right, boys, let's get into it then. I mean, what an amazing goal yesterday. We'll get into that in a minute, but Queen of the South, 0, Falkirk 1, Brad Spencer with an absolute perler. Going into the game, only one change, and that was forced with Ethan Ross coming in for Alfie Agyeman. What is the gen on Alfie, Ross? What have you heard?
I've not heard anything concrete. However, I saw on social media last night, Andrew Welsh, who was a previous guest pundit on, he got his picture taken with Alfie, who looked as if he was coming out of the gym at the South Stand yesterday before the game. So if he's in the gym and he's doing a bit of work, it means he's certainly not got his foot in plaster or rested. So he must be getting there or thereabouts. So fingers crossed he's back in the squad for next week, John.
Big miss. He was certainly missed yesterday. We'll get into the game in a minute. But what can we say about the game? Well, I think when you look back at it, and I think a lot of people said it, those are the games that win you leagues, Derek.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we started well, as we normally do. I think we were dominant. A lot of balls going out to the right-hand side. Obviously, Callum getting the crosses in. And I still don't get why a defender, when they got a boy like Callum Morrison, or indeed anyone attacking us, and we don't get close enough on a cross, but there were so many crosses put in the box.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, getting into, you know, and we're going to talk about it, is the amount of crosses, the amount of balls. I'd love to see how many crosses Callum got in the box. that match because they just constantly... The problem that I had with the game is that it was like one idea. It reminded me a wee bit of, you know, there was a big complaint with Rangers Sports and a big complaint with Falkirk Sports as well, actually. Just trying the one thing, and we kept trying, and it wasn't working because that Queen of the South defence, marshalled by big Effie Ambrose, they dealt with everything. They did every cross ball was either miss, you know, when it was a bad cross, it was a bad cross, but when it got into the box, it was dealt with. Do you know what I mean? And I think when we talked about the goal came from down the middle. It didn't come from the cross ball, and we were crying out, and we were sitting next to Ross, and was going, Why are we not going through the middle? Why are we not trying something down the middle here? Because every ball, they were looking for Callum Morrison. And because we had that kind of imbalance with Aguiman not being there, and, you know, Ethan Ross obviously came in into his role, but, you know, you could see he was short of, you know, match fitness, I would guess, and it took him a while to settle into the game. But it was like the goal finally came from down through the middle. And, you know, but you've seen the amount of crosses that, like you were saying, that went into the box.
Yeah, definitely thought after a little while that you know, we're missing Alfie. I think obviously as well we're having Ethan Ross coming in early. I mean, he signed on the Thursday. He came in. John McGlynn was confident enough to start him in the match. And things. I just feel if we don't score in the first 25, half an hour, there can be things happening. And that hasn't happened until yesterday because I've been scoring goals for fun, creating it, but Alfie's presence in the middle definitely causes bother. Because yeah, if Alfie gets the ball, he runs at defences and the three or four boys just bounce off him. Now, he might have a shot, he might play it left, he might play it right, but that option, I agree, John, that option wasn't there. Did John McGlynn think we could get away with that? Just playing balls wide and getting out of the box because of McKeever being there. I feel McKeever should have scored early with a header. At least get on target at most.
Yeah, it was from the short corner from the Morrison cross. He had a couple of headers that, you know, he glanced, and he's big Ross has done so well for us. But, you know, it wasn't working against Queen's yesterday. Because, I mean, Effie was, I mean, I know he's slow and what have you, but he, everything, bang. Out it went, you know.
No, it was John. It was. He was every cross ball I can think of. He was heading back out. That was a frustration for me because I don't know if it was you. I turned to at one point. I just thought, try Morrison a bit more central, because see if Morrison's up against Effie Ambrose. There's only one winner there with pace, so that would have been something I would maybe have tried. But then,
yeah, but it was getting frustrating. I think, you know, it was getting really frustrating. You know, we're shouting to go a bit more direct to Ross as well, because the crosses weren't working. I mean, Morrison was. I mean, he was on fire yesterday in terms of his trickery, what he was doing out there on the right. But, you know, it just felt like Queen of the South was going, well, we'll just keep doing that because we're getting everything here when it's coming into the box. We're winning everything because it was just big Ross on his own in that box. And they were playing three at the back as well. So it was like, you know, it was a tough shift for him. But, yeah, it was crosses. I mean, you look at the stats, 11 shots to 4, 4 shots on target to 0. But we just couldn't find a way in that first half, you know. I would say pretty much dominant. The only problems we created were the problems we created for ourselves, which we all know has been the downfall of Falkirk over the last couple of seasons, especially when, you know, Hendel was having a stinker in the first part. Love big Pirlo himself, but he had a bit of a stinker, which led to, you know, them hitting the bar and then Cole having to clear off the line after a brilliant save from Sam, by the way, to tip that onto the bar. Was an unbelievable save. But we just seemed to be the masters of our own downfall. And then there was that chance in the second half when big Tam Lang, uncharacteristically, apart from the Dundee United game, you know, had to pass back to the keeper and we're just like, oh! We can be our own makers of our own downfall when it comes to that, you know.
Well, as Ross said at the start of the season, I'd say to friends as well, and we all agree that the only team to fear this season is ourselves.
Yeah,
and that kind of there was a bit of prominence of that yesterday, because that the mistake by Hendo, it led to that shot, it led to the come off the bar and, you know, off the line. We weren't really cut open yesterday. I don't think they came to win the match. I don't think they had nothing. They had no threat whatsoever, personally, Phil. There was no threat. There was no... I don't know how many shots they had at goal. Probably not many.
Four shots, none on target. Yeah.
The shot for Connolly that kind of nearly went... You know, I think the goalkeeper had it long, had it covered. But... yeah, the frustration, certainly frustration sets in, and that can be a major point with the Falkirk fans, and that can get because
Eric, how good were the fans though yesterday though? There was no...
Oh, it was outstanding.
The support was brilliant, but as you said, on a normal, like last season, there could have been some frustrations coming onto the pitch, but there was none of that at all.
You're right, Ross. You're absolutely right. The ultra, and this is where the ultras have really come into their own, and you know, they kept singing and everything throughout the game. They're singing songs, I don't know the words. I'm sitting him to him yesterday going, what were the words to that song? We have to write it down, because it was something about Callum Morrison on the wing and he loves the navy blue and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, that's quite a catchy little number, that one. And then the Ola song, I don't know what they're singing with the Ola song. And they've got, do you know what though? It's great to hear that. And it's, you know, they've done a brilliant job, the ultras. I was skeptical about the drum. I'm going to hold my hand up. And now they've got a fucking megaphone as well. Right? So, you know, it's, I'm a bit skeptical about that, but they've done well.
See, just on the megaphone, the best bit, and I forgot to tell you this because I don't know if you heard it. There was a bit yesterday when they were singing Stand Up for the Falkirk Bairns, right? The Kevin McAllister stand was in, like, all standing up. I think I stood up and a few other people, right? But I didn't really catch on. And then someone with a microphone, with a megaphone, shouted, Stand Up, you bastard.
quite right.
Exactly.
No, but listen, the ultras have been super. The 1876 boys, it's been super. It's been great to get, you know, a young team. And I noticed yesterday, I said I was sitting with Totsy yesterday, and on my left hand side, and I actually thought, I said, that's growing. The actual ultras, the 1870, it's growing. Yeah. It's got bigger. There was a certainly, and we also had another 300 on the crowd yesterday, maybe 200-300. And Ross was super trying to push the 5,000, you guys obviously, together. But we, to get 4-5 in is still special.
No, exactly. For League One, you look at the attendance, and we were just talking earlier on, Derek, about Hamilton, you know, they're getting just over 1,000 people in, you know, and it's like, you go, Christ, you know.
I was, sorry, John, to interrupt. I read, I'm not a guy for looking at other teams' stats or other teams', you know, performances or whatever they've been doing. But I did see on Facebook or Twitter, some came up about Hamilton, and it was, you know, I've got a good friend for Hamilton, but what it said was, we have now hit 686 season tickets. Let's get to 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, and that summed it up for me. And I know it's not about figures, it's not about fans, it's about the team in the park, how it's been run. But, gee, man.
I know. And this is where we're at. This is exactly where we're at, and how important this season is in getting out of this league. They've certainly haven't put money in amongst the team, you know, and I'm surprised they held on to John Rankin, actually, you know, after last season, but they have done. And, you know, obviously it was a bit of a kicker in the stones yesterday when they got that goal against Aloe a bit later on. But, you know, we can only talk about what we saw in the park yesterday. We just kept trying. And my God, Brad Spencer, we have a gem. He is. I've said it again, him and Tam Lang should not be in this league. They are absolute Rolls Royce players. Morrison we know about. Morrison shouldn't be in this league either, let's face it. But these two high have made that spine of the team. They've made such a difference. And I think, and you saw it yesterday, actually, Christoph Berra. I don't know if you saw it, Derek, but Christoph Berra's kind of, he's been in the coaching. Now, I heard a couple of weeks ago that Christoph Berra was working specifically. He's wanting, he obviously has that relationship with McGuinn from his time at Raith Rovers. But I had heard a couple of weeks ago, actually, that Berra was in working defensively with the guys and specifically working a lot with Col Donaldson. Now, Col Donaldson, you know, he started off last season brilliantly, you know, and there was a bit near the end when he was getting paired with Brad McKay and stuff like that, a lot of moans, a lot of gripes about him. He's been outstanding. You saw that clearance off the line yesterday when the mistake was made by Hendo. And certainly the big sexy bastard that is Tam Lang alongside him. My God. Jesus.
I remember, Russell, remember, the 2 year, remember, was it Spartans away? We played a match with Spartans. I hope I'm right, correct in saying that. And in the dugout, there was this boy, and I'm like, that looks like Christoph Berra. And John McGlynn actually said in his interview that if anyone saw Christoph Berra tonight, he's in on a friendly basis. We've been close since the Hearts days. Did you remember this, Ross?
Aye, I remember it for the post-match video.
And he said, look, he's in here on a friendly basis, as I said. You know, he's willing to, hoping to get into coaching and that we can help him out and blah, blah, blah. And obviously, if he's coming in, it's an unpaid job, which 100% is. And, you know, he's adding a wee bit of this, that, and the next thing. If that helps Cole, I'm sure he'll embrace that and he'll ingest everything that Christoph's saying to him. And
I thought Cole was fantastic yesterday again, Derek, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Cole. There was a, you know, we're in the first division. First division. Some players are first division players. Not many, but there was a couple of wee mistakes, but he had a great game. Yeah. He had a great game. And listen, for me yesterday, there was one guy that, and we all loved him last season, was Leon McCann, yesterday. You know, there was mistakes from everyone yesterday. The frustration was getting there, but he never stuck out as being one that made any mistake. And I personally feel, and I said to a few people at the start of the season, well, we're going to go with Big Tam, we're going to go with Cole, we're going to have Yatesy or whoever was going to come in at right back. And I always thought Sean Mackey was going to be the left back.
Aye.
And because just to have that big back four, because John McGlynn always said, when we play against these sides that are beating us, it's not because they're technically better, it's because they're, and this was, and you know, the Penguin, he went, they're bigger, they're just bigger. And that's what he would do. And because of Sean getting injured, Leon's came in and he just carried on exactly.
He's nailed it.
Where he's left off.
Yeah, again, it's what happened last season as well. Obviously, we know McCann had a bit of dip in form as well. He started off last season fine. Yeah. And he's been great again this season, Leon. And, you know, like, I think you're right. I think actually both fullbacks, and a shout out to Finn as well. I thought he was excellent yesterday as well, getting up and down that right wing, combining with Morrison. But yeah, it wasn't frustrating because you just kind of felt that there was a goal coming for us. I mean, I was speaking to Marvin Bartley during the week because I worked beside him on Super Scoreboard. And
Name dropper.
There, pick up that name.
But he name drops John, though.
But I said to him during the week, and I joked, I said, you know, the two highest scoring teams in Scotland, and it's going to be 0-0. You can put your money on it. And it was just going that way. It, like we say, was the frustration of it. Just keep trying the same thing. They were obviously just come in, sit in, look on the break, which they a couple of times you thought, they were almost there with it. And that's what they were doing. They were sitting kind of a back five with kind of playing the 3-5-2, but more a 5-3-2. And you just thought, there's going to be a point when they might break it and do, but it didn't happen. And you just felt, and we were sitting there, it just felt it was going to come. Unfortunately, however, I had a 40th to go to, so I had to leave the stadium at 4:45. Now, I missed the goal. And I have seen back the goal now, however. There's been a brilliant angle that just got put up today, actually, on Twitter. If you've not seen it, go and check it out, of behind the goals. And, you know, Brad Spencer, getting back to the point, he's just magnificent. He's going to get him, like I say, him and Tam Lang are great winners this league. If we do win the league, we are going to have to go back and go, those are the two players that done it, because that's been the difference this season. Mm. Calvin Miller as well, I think, started off well. Obviously, had that unfortunate injury, and that Big Alfie's been outstanding as well. The recruitment's been very good. You know, you look at Cross that, and there's not been anyone that we've brought in during the summer that you've went,
I think the recruitment has been spot on. Like, there's no downside to any player that he's brought in so far, and I think you've nailed it. See the acquisition of Lang, Spencer. In fact, they not all sign on the same day as well, so we got our business done really early. Yeah,
we're doing for a fish supper, didn't it?
That's right.
So these three signings, and Miller will not be long before he's back, probably another 4 or 5 weeks away. Alfie will be back. Obviously, Sean Mackey's going to be back. We're not sure about McGinn.
There's
a lot of chat that he's obviously in a bad way with his knee and stuff. So we'll just need to stick a pin there. But there's players to come back. We do have the strongest squad in the league.
I agree.
We just need to get the ball in the net and get the hell out of this league, as we say.
Yeah, and I mean that's going back to how we started this whole conversation. That is the type of game that we would have slipped up on the last couple of seasons, and that is the type of game that we saw Dunfermline do last season, because this is very Dunfermline-esque in the fact that we got a 1-0 against a very good Queen of the South side, like I say, who were scoring goals, who you look at being like one of the league favourites. We're now 7 points clear as Queen of the South, you know, and you go further down the league and you go Cove Rangers, who we were pinpointing, we're 11 points clear of Cove Rangers now. Do you know what I mean? Yep. It looks, you know, 6 points, it's Hamilton and Falkirk at the moment, and there's 6 points gap to third and Stirling Albion. Now, we saw Stirling Albion, and you know, they've been good this season, but we absolutely dominated that team when we came up against them. So it looks, you know, even at this point, it's just going to be a two-horse race between us and Hamilton for that league now.
I think, John, you're right. Ross will agree. I watched the Hamilton. I'm not one for watching other sides anywhere. I don't know much about Scottish football. I'm a Falkirk fan. I watch us and I watch what we've done, what we're doing. But I watched intentionally because of where we are and because of where Hamilton are, and I watched the highlights of their game today on YouTube, and it wasn't a great game, and they could actually have lost that match. You know, the Alloa hit the bar in the 92nd minute before they went up the park and won the game. There was chances for Alloa, and that wasn't, as you said, we done filming last year, that wasn't happening. They were winning, they were grinding out, they were winning 1-0, they weren't conceding. They would never have conceded at home to Alloa last year.
No.
They were a ground out of 2-0 or a 1-0. And that's where we are at the moment. And that's, John's right, that's looking like what we have to do.
And there is still two games before we play Accies, but that game in October against Accies already looks like it's going to be a big one. And I tell you one thing, it's at home. I know we've just talked about there'll be 5,000 plus in there, guaranteed. I'd be shocked if there's not. And a three points that day would be massive, not just for on the league table, but in terms of laying down a marker, three points that day. I know we've got Kelty and Montrose first, which are huge games as well, because we can't just think about Accies and then forget everything else. But 3 points against Accies in October, we go a long way, I reckon, already.
Yeah.
Agree.
Right, let's hear what... It wasn't John that was up for interview chat yesterday. It was Paul Smith, so let's hear what Paul had to say.
Hiya, Paul. A dramatic finish to the match there. How do you feel to take 3 points away from such a close match?
Yeah, I think over the 90 minutes or 96 minutes, as it was at the end of the day, I think we, you know, thoroughly deserved to win the game. You know, we got a lot of crosses in the first half, couldn't really get on the end of them. To be fair, to Queen of the South, they defended the box really well. Effie Ambrose got his head and a lot of the balls, that, you know, a lot of crosses from Callum Morrison. So we had to keep plugging away, and you know, we made a couple of wee substitutions, give us a wee bit fresh legs, and delighted in a great goal from Brad, you know, fantastic finish for him.
You mentioned having a few chances in the first half that we just couldn't get on the end of. Does having such a long break from our last fixture play a part in maybe a lack of cutting edge and taking these chances?
No, I don't think so, because I think we started the game really well. You know, we've been, since the start of the season, we've been getting a lot of crosses in, and you know, we have been getting on the end of them. They're top goal scorers in Scotland. So, as they say, it just wasn't our day getting on the end of crosses. You know, we've got a couple of things that just didn't quite break for us in and around the box. But as I say, we kept plugging away for the full 96 minutes, and I think deservedly got the winner at the end.
Ethan Ross obviously made his debut today. How would you sum up his first appearance for the club?
Yeah, it's good to get Ethan here. Obviously, John and myself have worked with him for Raith Rovers. He's certainly needed minutes in his game. He's not had a lot of minutes, so I think he'll be better. He's got, you know, better for that. He's got 60 minutes under his belt today, and I'm sure he'll get better and better as the weeks go on.
And finally, what mentality does it show, you know, to things not going our way in terms of finishing it and then, you know, popping up in the last minute of such a great finish?
Yeah, huge mentality. You know, we've got a fantastic group of players in that changing room. You know, we're all together, the players are all together, even, you know, the likes of McGinn and Mackie who are injured are in the changing room at the end of the day. So fantastic from there. So it's onwards and upwards from there. I'd like to say a big thank you to the fans today. I believe there's about 4,500 fans turned out today, you know, for coming out in great numbers and really got behind the boys for the full, you know, 96 minutes. As I say, I've been here before at the club and sometimes the fans get frustrated, but for the full game, they really got behind the boys and drove us on for the winner. So hopefully they'll have a great weekend again.
Great result today and thank you for your time.
Thank you, cheers.
There you go, that was Paul Smith talking there. He managed to get about three or four questions in and it was 2:44. That's usually a one answer from Big John, who wasn't there yesterday. I'm not going to make any insinuations like I did last season of what he was doing over Brad Spencer's goal, and that's why he wasn't doing the interview. Let's just say he was celebrating Brad Spencer's goal. Will we say that?
It was a special goal, though, so he was maybe just having a special... Sometime. John McGlynn
type, yeah. John McGlynn type. But there's Paul. I love the fact that Paul's also learned from the gaffer, you know, it's like, thank the fans. Make sure you thank the fans, Paul. It's like, because John obviously does that every interview as well. I had to laugh at that. But he needs to start doing the Penguin. He needs to start doing the Penguin as well, Paul, you know. Because if obviously they're like the Blues Brothers, they're matching, you know, the Puma Kings that they wear in the dugouts and the shorts normally as well. They're like a boy band.
They are. It was actually the first time I've seen him with his cap on in a long, long time.
That's true, actually. Yeah, yeah. What do you call... Here's one for the listeners. What do you call McGlynn and Paul Smith's boy band? There you go. Was it like Robson and Jerome? Just call them McGlynn and Smith? I don't know. Foster, like Foster and Allen. There you go. Think of a name for John McGlynn and Paul Smith's boy band.
That could be the question to win Derek's gift voucher that he's going to donate as well. That could be the question there.
Oh, that's true. Derek, get your plug in because we believe you've been sent here. You've insulted your wife already on this podcast. So, you know, let's say I get the plug in for our business.
You can come down to our house, which is, you know, get in touch with me personally. My wife runs a business from the home called Matty and Me, M-A-T-T-I-E. Matty and Me, named after her mum. And it's house decorative stuff. You know, what women like, what ladies like to have in their home all the time, like candles and...
Men like it as well. Ross is a big fan of the candle, Derek. He loves a bit of home decor.
I'm a candle man. I'm sure Ross and Ross Wayne and John McAnally's wives could possibly both arrive together at this home.
Yes, we'll need to come down and cover
my costs for the voucher. No, but it's absolutely it's great what she does, and I'd like to give a voucher, whatever price we'll discuss that.
There we go, and come down,
it's not a big massive business thing. It's just a bit of fun and what she enjoys.
Great. Well, look out for details for that on our socials this week. Paul obviously spoke there about the game. I think very much kind of summed up what we've been talking about on this podcast really well. I don't know where John was. We need to find out where John... He's probably had a 40th to go to, and that, you know, maybe he missed Brad Spencer's goal as well because he had a 40th to go to. I don't know. Right, let's get a view from the supporters. Let's kick off with a man who you were out with, actually, Ross, yesterday, Craig Hamilton.
Was that?
Well, no, we're not out with Craig. No, I'm getting my Gary's and Craig Hamilton's mixed up here. Craig Hamilton.
I don't remember a Craig Hamilton.
Craig kicks us off with...
Craig was too drunk, or Ross was too drunk to remember who...
Aye. Well, Ross was too drunk. He was drinking in the Vic last night, so it looked like a good night, Ross.
Yeah,
It was a brilliant night. Yeah, big shout out to Gary Hamilton, who goes to the Burns games with us, regular in the Kevin McAllister stand. He was 40. And yeah, there was a big party for him last night in the Vic. Which is a brilliant
pub. Oh, what a boozer.
The Vic is a very, good pub. Do you know what we'll do? I think we should have a ranking, like a pub ranking at some point. We should definitely do this. We should, in fact, if any pubs are listening want to sponsor us, we could come down, drink in your pub for free, and we can do like a Falkirk Daft rating for the pub. How's that for an idea, Ross?
I'm loving that idea, if I'm being honest, John. I don't know if we're going to get anybody taking us up on it. But,
well, you know, if you want to have the Falkirk Daft boys down to rate your pub, let us know. We'll give a Falkirk Daft rating.
We could get them a plaque or something for their pub.
Yes, we will. TripAdvisor.
I actually self-publish a wee magazine that we're going to possibly chat about later on if Ross was all right, if you guys are right with that.
Does it involve us getting free drink, Derek?
Well, you could do if you
If you buy
some magazines, you may get some drink.
And
that's our meeting point is down in the back. So
brilliant.
We do all our kind of
a good Falkirk pub. I know it's in Carron Shore, like, but you know, it's fine. It's fine.
And you know, see the guy that runs it, Gordon. He's an absolute gentleman. He's been through a few things lately himself personally. He's got a lovely family. He's got so many lovely punters down there, and it should be supported. That pub is it's an old style, old.
Yeah,
class. He's a classy guy, and the whole atmosphere and the whole ambience of the pub just sums up what a Falkirk pub should be.
It's a wee hidden gem, you know. Yes. I think the Soohoos is a wee hidden gem as well. I like the Soohoos as well.
Well, it is, but I've stopped going there for certain reasons, but you can edit that, I know.
Right, we won't get any of that then, right? Okay, then. Let's talk the sports reaction to the game. Craig, as I've said, he says we missed Alfie up top. McKeever was isolated, and Effie Ambrose had a good game, it has to be said. Our final ball was a bit lacklustre at times, but it was another park the bus job by an away team, which is surprising from Queen of the South in the fact they've scored so many goals. I think from their perspective, I was speaking to Marvin, drop that again. He was just saying they just can't defend. I mean, defended very well yesterday, in fairness to them. We deserved the win, but it wasn't our best performance, says Craig.
John, see, just before I read the next one, I think you're right. I expected them to be a little bit more offensive.
Adventurous.
But they were very, very defensive. It was obviously tactical because they knew that we'd been scoring goals, top scorers in Scotland up until yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I can understand it to an extent. I actually thought Marvin, he seemed all right. He seemed exasperated at points. What I didn't understand was his assistant, Grant. Was it Grant Murray?
Grant Murray, yeah.
Some of the shouts that he was making to Douglas Ross, who actually had a very good game, one on the line. He was a better lino than he was a politician. But Grant Murray yesterday, that was just a really weird 90 minutes for him yesterday. I've no idea some of the shouts he was making, some of the things that he saw that no one else saw. Anyway, that was by the
way. Yeah, they had a lot of problems. And by the way, shout out to Craig McGuffey, who obviously got injured and taken off in a stretcher yesterday. You know, once a bit and always a bit, all that nonsense. But I don't like booing. See, when players come back and they've done a decent job for us, I don't like booing players, and I think Craig McGuffey, you know, he was very unlucky not to push on, and you know, we had that goal last week. So all the best to Craig. I hope he gets better.
But John,
I mean, they did have a lot of injuries, and Ross did make a very good point that we don't do the. Remember, we used to be the slow hand clap when someone was down. So we tried to. Me and Ross tried starting that yesterday. It didn't work out so well.
But there was also the two things in the match yesterday. One, the referee let everything go yesterday. He let the game flow.
He was good yesterday, the ref, by the way.
And he looked like Howard DeVoto from Magazine. You know, Ken, what I'm talking about. He was the lead singer of Magazine, an old post-punk band. But I thought the guy got it right when you go, oh, that's a foul. Oh, that's a foul. No, he let the game flow. And I think that's maybe where we should be now.
We've been very quick to slag off referees on this podcast. So I actually thought he had, like you say, I thought he had a very good game yesterday, the referee.
see that moment where the Queen of the South player tried to crawl back onto the pitch as well. That was laughable, by the way. Do you know how good was the ref just saying, "Oh, get yourself"? He wasn't interested to let the game play.
He was literally kicking the boy off the park as well. He was literally.
I've got a friend that's a West Ham fan, Joe, a big West Ham fan, and he always reminds me of, was it last season or the season before, when there was a player playing against West Ham, went down feigning injury, and Mark Noble physically lifted him. You remember this, Ross? He physically lifted him and took him off the park. You remember that?
Can you imagine if the ref had done that yesterday? That would have been...
Well, shit, I've got his name. It's Colin Stephen, who was the referee yesterday. And I have to say, credit where credit's due, he was a good referee.
He was a good singer. He was a good singer as well.
go back to the fans' comments. So Stuart Gillis, made life difficult for ourselves somewhat by creating more chances for the opposition through our faffing about at the back than they create themselves. John, that's obviously a comment you made earlier on as well. The only chances they really did have yesterday was when we kind of gave them the chance themselves, but we came through, which is the main thing.
No, exactly. Scott Lang says, frustrating to watch, mainly between the South dealing with everything we put in the box. Seemed the only way we'd win was from a mistake or a touch of class, and we had that in Brad Spencer. Grinding out a result like that is what good teams do, though.
Indeed. Doogie Manson, a game that last season we would have either drawn or lost. How many 1-0 grind-out wins did Scunferland get last year? And he's got a point. They're probably
absolutely. Graham Yeats was man of the match. Queens made it a bit scrappy. Forwards didn't click today. Ross was okay. Yeah, Ross had a very kind of quiet game yesterday, not what we've seen from him. But we might struggle with Alfie and Miller out as they are more explosive. And Morrison looked tired near the end. Yeah, I think Morrison was knackered because everything was going through him yesterday.
Took a bad rock as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that right at the end. So hopefully he's okay. He seemed to be fine, but hopefully just a wee bit of bruising or something like that.
I think Callum's been immense as he was last season. And
yeah,
I've noticed what you're saying. He had a knock. He took a knock and it didn't look good. But he always seems, and that's happened before, and he always seems to just come back.
Yeah,
you know, just takes that knock. It takes a few minutes and he comes back. And next thing he's back on the park. There was one instance where Yatesy had the ball, and you know he was kind of like inquisitive to play the ball to him or no play the ball to him.
You know,
you remember that down in the right hand?
Yeah, down the right, yeah.
And he did give him the ball, and he still managed to put it into the ball.
I know, so I was like, he's injured, and he's like, well, give it to him or no? It's like, yeah, I'll give it to him. But I think he's a confidence player as well. It's like he had that free kick, you know, in the first 5 minutes, which was, you know, pretty close. I think that's, you know, from that point onwards, he's, you know, everything seemed to be working for Callum Morrison yesterday. His tricks, you know, he was winning the 50-50 balls. He was getting lucky breaks and stuff like that as well. And he is a very, you know, I think a very confidence-based player, you know. I think Aidan Nesbitt's a bit like that as yesterday. I don't think he had a brilliant game yesterday, Aidan, if I'm honest with you. But I think when he gets that confidence in him, Aidan can be very similar to in that way, you know.
I'm a fan of Nezzy. I get a lot of stick. We've got a chat group in it. I get a lot of stick about being a big fan of Nezzy because you know he's timid in the tackle. He's very timid in the tackle. But that's not his game. His game's no tackling. And you know, you do get the 50-50, the odd 50-50 challenge where he really has to step up a wee bit. But see when you get Nezzy and there's a quick fireball at his feet and his vision's fantastic and he'll turn and he'll nick a first-time ball in there. If you look back over the last two or three seasons, some of his passes have been fantastic. And that just shows by his assists for goals. It just shows you.
You're right, Derek. He does have a high assist rate, and he's a bit like Mark Kerr, who never ever shied away from the ball, even if he isn't having a great game. Like, I agree, John, I don't think it was his best game yesterday. I don't think it was bad, but I don't think it was brilliant. But he never ever once shied away from looking for the ball. And so I think you're right. We always give him that credit. Gents, have reminded me, though, of...
Sorry. There we go. Sorry. Go, Ross. Sorry.
All right. I was just going to say...
Wait.
I've lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Gents, have reminded me, though. There was a moment where I did have a... a moan about the ref yesterday. Did you notice that after Morrison had got treatment, he'd obviously ripped his sock holds off, right? So his socks were at his ankles, and he'd threw his shin pads away, and the ref was like, no, 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 you need to put your shin pads on. Since when has it been mandatory for shin pads to be worn? Because not every player wears shin pads.
I think it is actually mandatory. I think it is.
Well, Wild doesn't wear shin pads.
Did you not? See, the thing is with a shin pad's very different from what it used to be. Shin pads for me were big muckle things. They now just wear this little fucking bit of, what looks like a bit of cardboard across the fucking shin.
There's some of your players wear fucking fanny pads.
It's unbelievable.
No, but honestly, shin pads, fanny pads, doesn't matter. Put your fanny pads in your shin. Doesn't matter. Anyway, you can edit that, John.
In terms of supporters' comments, Martin says patience needed in these games, and we eventually got rewarded with Brad's winner. It did feel we were a wee bit predictable at times without causing too many problems, but we'll take the 3 points any way that they come.
Yeah, we would be sitting here if it had been a draw, saying we would have been saying we're too predictable, because that would have been the outcome of it if we had drawn that game, because we were. But it was that, like you say, that moment of class that's really separated the two sides, and that's what we've got this season in a match winner like Brad Spencer. Grad Thompson says, we missed Agumon being a complete menace today and struggled to do any constructive with many of our crosses. 3 points in the bag though, and man crush on Tom Lang is getting stronger. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. What a difference he's made to our defence, and Donaldson has upped his game as a result.
I am not going to show my wife photographs of Tom Lang.
I know no one should show their wife photographs of Tom Lang. He's a very handsome man. Is he sexier than Lee Miller?
Oh, fuck, I definitely. But listen, can I just have a wee, if you don't mind, guys, back to the old days, we Elliot's guys like Ross. Been back. If you don't mind us, John, I think you'll enjoy this. This was what we did. Elliot's bus started by myself, because what happened was, back in 1984, there was, you know, one bus gone, and it was the supporters bus. The supporters bus was gone all the time, official supporters bus, and they were getting charged like too much money. So Ross will probably know all these things. So somebody had to take the handle to go, you know, let's start our own buses, and all the buses started off. Probably around the same time. But in 1984, we were playing Alloa away, and we were so peeved off for the week before, because there was a certain guy running us, the Forest Supporters Bus, and he was taking too much money from people, and especially the younger people, the younger guys, especially like school kids. And it wasn't fair. And we thought, you know, we need to do something weird.
I mean, it's such an intrinsic part of, you know, Falkirk supporters now, and such an intrinsic part of the fans' legacy, I think, as well, is the Elliot's bus, and everybody knows the Elliot's boys and what they get up to. It's all due to you, Derek.
No, it's not really. It's not really, because someone else would have done it anyway. It's like Irvin Welsh would have written Train Spotting, but some cunt else would have written it anyway.
Brilliant. What a synopsis. If Shakespeare hadn't written Romeo and Juliet or whatever, some of the Bible hadn't, God hadn't come along, someone else could have come along and done it.
Somebody would have thought of that.
Amazing. Love that. Right, let's continue with the support.
Last couple of comments. We've got Grant Elliott says, speaking of Elliott, thought we deserved the win today, but lacked a cutting edge in the final third. A bit clumsy at the back a few times and lucky not to get punished for it. We clearly missed Big Alfie and Miller, but we kept plugging away and got the goal that we deserved, even if we left it that little bit late.
Right, and Scott McElroy says, yes, everyone counts. This is how league titles are decided. Anyone who says that the league is won in May is deluded. Come on, you Bairns.
Exactly. And last but not least, and I'm sure there was tone with this, but Stephen just says that Brad Spencer is a very good footballer.
I love that. It's absolutely correct. Brad Spencer is a very good footballer. Donald Johnson, our Stato, has been in touch. Our Falkirk Daft resident, Stato Donald, he's been in touch. He says, attendance on Saturday versus Queen of the South is 4,502, 600 more than both home games last season and 400 more than last season's average. Also, a bigger crowd than any home game last season apart from the two against Dunfermline. Interesting to see. I think the Ultras have got a lot to do with this, by the way. I think a lot of young team are coming in and joining the Ultras and getting that South Stanfield. Yeah. Next home game is versus Montrose, when last season we had 3,622 and 3,742. Hopefully the 4,300 Bairns fans will return for the game, giving us 600, 700 more than last season. And that makes a massive difference to football budgets and what we were talking about earlier as well, you know.
The last bit of stats that we've got to share before we finish off this is...
I forgot about Razor Cuts.
Derek. Yes, before we do that, I'll come back to Razor Cuts.
Look at John's face. You can cut that out, Ed. John, fucking boring to death, John.
I love this, by the way. You're listening to this podcast. There's so many times there'll be big bits missing out of this podcast, by the way. But every time, Derek keeps telling to me, you can just edit that out, John. Edit that out. So we'll maybe have like an off cut of like all the bits of Derek's had to edit out of Derek's.
The bloopers.
Go on, Derek. Tell me about Razor Cuts.
Yeah. I do a self-publishing magazine called Razor Cuts. It's basically give everyone a chance that can write to be published in a self-published magazine. So what I do is I ask people to submit work, either poetry, short stories, photography. We do our own band interviews and we bring it into one piece of work. And then we put it out there as an old style magazine, not online. We put it out as an old style fanzine, an old DIY thing.
Love it, love it. Good. Well, I hope it continues. Like you say, razorcuts.com, and that's razor spelt with a U. Finally, we've got a bit of a stat here to finish us off here, Ross.
Yes. John, you're obviously, I know you're a big watcher and I don't know if you're a contributor, but big watcher of Pine Bovril, as you mentioned. And there's a guy on there, he's got a brilliant username on it. It's TN Busquets, a wee play on the Biscuits quote there. But yeah, he says some comparisons from this season to last based on six games played. So last season at this point, we had 10 points, we'd scored 9 goals and conceded 8, however. And already this year, as we know, we're on 16 points. We've scored 15 goals and we've only conceded 3. So there is a huge, huge swing.
You know, and we're in more points now than Dunfermline were at this point last season as well. It's good to add that in as well. So that's really encouraging. Like you say, that game against Hamilton. But, you know, let's not forget, we've got to go away to Kelty, which we'll speak about in a minute, and Montrose before then. So... fingers crossed. Anyway, before we move on to looking at Kelty, Falkirk Daft rated player, Derek, let's come to you first.
I think Leon McCann was the most consistent player yesterday.
Leon McCann for Derek Roscoe.
There's a few for yesterday, but I'm going to go Spencer for the goal. I thought he was solid in midfield, but the goal was special as well.
I thought Yeats was very good yesterday. Morrison obviously was very, very good, but just didn't have that final ball. But it's got to be Big Brad, hasn't it, for the goal and just that bit of class. And, you know, like I've said, he's a touch over. So Brad Spencer gets, I think that's him, got 2 now, Ross. Yep, Falkirk Dafty. This is the player that you thought didn't have a very good game yesterday, Derek. Who's it going to?
I think it was few players that were off it yesterday, and sorry to contradict you, John, but I don't think Yeats was really on it yesterday.
Oh, really? Interesting. So Finn Yeats is getting the Falkirk Daft, he's not had it yet, Ross.
No, I don't think he's had it. Do you know, I thought he certainly got up and down the line quite a bit yesterday. I thought he did okay yesterday. I'm trying to think who Nesbitt, as we said, had a bit of a quieter game. Big Pirlo, In the first half, but you know, as much as he had a poor first half, Johnny, he came into it more in the second half, didn't he? I thought he was far better.
He scored at one point as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Nez, but I thought he was really quiet at points yesterday. And I don't think he was quite there.
Yeah, I think Nessie wasn't exactly on it. I was going to say maybe I think it'd be harsh to give it to Ethan Ross, but because he's not match fit.
That's too harsh.
Yeah, I'll get.
He certainly wasn't on his game. For a guy that came in on Thursday and started.
It's too harsh. We'll give it to Nessie then. Yeah. Give it to Nessie. There you go then. Falkirk Daft rating. Falkirk Daft of the week. Derek, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We've learned a lot today. The founder of the Elliot's Bus, you can, like I say, hit up Derek if you're a keen writer and want to get involved in the fanzine, razorcuts.com, head there, and I'm sure you'll be able to get something published there. So brilliant.
May I just say, the two of you guys, thanks so much for starting this podcast and like putting Fokker out there and just, you know, putting yourself on the map and, you know, I'm not a follower of other clubs, and I don't give a flying, you know what, about other clubs anywhere. And you guys have started this off. This is the only thing I want to read about. I want to read about Fokker. I want to read about Fokker. I want to write about Fokker. I want to see about Fokker. So good on you. Good on you. This is the only thing I'll watch because it's Fokker Football Club since 1876.
Fantastic. On it. Brilliant. If you want to be a guest pundit just like Derek as well, you can do that. You can come on the show yourself. Just drop us a message. DM us, Twitter, Facebook, or you can pop us an email, mail@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
The one and only Derek Steele, of our guest pundit there, brilliant. Steele, we had Scott, his brother, on, who's obviously a big member of the FSS, is on. And Derek, like I say, is an old punk. Good to see him around gigs in Falkirk, so he's a good lad. So great to speak to him on the podcast. Right, next game is Kelty, and I'm going to put out a warning right now. I am doing something, like, my mate's up... Big Falkirk supporter, my mate Nell. Shout out to Nell, he listens to the podcast as well. First Falkirk game since 2016, I think this will be. Since 2016. He's coming up from Shrewsbury this weekend. And in his infinite wisdom, Nell works for a company, he's got his own company. He has decided to, I said, we're going out for a couple of drinks, and he said, oh, we need something to break up the day. I said, well, Falkirk are playing away at Kelty. I said, the only problem is it's a bit of a nightmare to get to. Kelty is a nightmare to get to because you've got to go, unless you're taking a supporters bus, you know, it's train out and then to Dunfermline and then, you know, you can get a bus out or you can get to Cowdenbeath and then out from there. So I said, it's a nightmare to get to. Screw it, we'll hire a car. So we've now hired a car to drive us about, and he's promised it's going to be a pink Hummer. I don't know if this is true, but anyway... We're doing a pub crawl around 5 and we're starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, right? And the kickoff is 5:30 at night. I apologise right now if you're listening to this podcast and you see me on Saturday. I'm in amongst the ultras because I said to him, well, we're going amongst the ultras. He said, we are the ultras on Saturday. So look out for us on Saturday. We'll be trying to get ourselves on the telly probably.
We'll need to get you your silk scarf over to you before the
weekend. Oh, God. I'm actually, as long as I get a shot at the drum, I'll be delighted.
To make that happen, John.
Jesus. Right, so avoid anyway. I'll see you there. I'm going on Saturday is what I'm getting at. Ross, you're going to make it as well, aren't you?
Yeah. No, obviously I won't be as...
I might, do you know what, it's probably at that point after the game, I'll probably just go, Ross, just take me home. Ross, just take me home. If you're driving up, I'm just going to take me home now.
Go home to my bed.
I know, exactly. So, it should be good fun on Saturday. But Kelty, I mean, they've been very up and down this season. Two draws and spin. Michael Tidson now in charge there. We all know him from his time at Falkirk, where he was a bit of a... we were just like, well, didn't get the player we thought we were going to get when we had Tidson at the club. But he's done very well at Kelty when he went over there. Two draws. They've been kind of very up and down, sitting on 8 points, kind of mid-table in the league. You know, they brought in very... I don't know if the guy, I think obviously the money's kind of left Kelty now. Obviously the guy's taken his money and went over and put it into Wraith. Now he's taken obviously John Potter with him on that journey as well. I think John Potter's now director of football or CEO over at Wraith. Right.
I didn't realise that actually. No, I didn't realise that was the job that he was in now. But yeah, no, the money has definitely left, and yeah, they're probably doing better than they would have thought they would be at this stage. Obviously, Edinburgh seems to be
Edinburgh are struggling, aren't they? Jesus, yeah, they got pumped in the week. It was East Kilbride beat them in the cup, and then they've obviously, you know, beaten off Montrose yesterday. Montrose, actually, a shout out to Montrose, who were going to be taking on in a couple of weeks. Actually, they have been unbeaten since Rory McAllister left, funnily enough.
Right, okay, well, there you go. Montrose have always been a bit of a bogey team for us, so we just need to right that wrong this season as well, don't we? Although we kind of did last season too. We were a better record against them last season than we had done, but they have been a tricky side. So, but that home game against Montrose, and as you're saying, Kelly next week, it's just the must-win games, isn't it, buddy?
Absolutely. I mean, they're a lot weaker than they were last season. I mean, obviously, the Cardinal's not there anymore. Higginbottom's not there anymore. I mean, they still have, I mean, for this kind of level, they've still got a couple of decent players there. I think, you know, Jason Thompson, defender. But yeah, they've got quite a small squad. And I think, having spoke to someone who's involved at Kelty, I think they're really going to be fighting against it this season. So hopefully we can go up there. But as we know, you know, we saw last season when we got that last minute winner, it's a hard place to go. But I think it should be a win for the Bears on paper, certainly, because I think Kelty I think they will struggle this season, I'll be honest with you. Boto Biabi is there now, right enough, though. And they've got the young lad, Tiwi Danamoa, who plays there as well. So he was a player I'd like to have seen coming in at Falkirk, actually.
So, yeah, it's a new name on me, actually. I don't recall too much of him. But, yeah, I forgot about Boto Biabi. That's a blast for the past as well, isn't it? Yeah. So he's been round the houses, though, isn't he, Biabi, in recent years? So I don't know if he's set the heather alight so far at Kelty, but it'll be a tough game. But we know we can go there and win, and we know we've got the players to do it. There'll be a big following. I know it's on TV, but I'm sure there'll still be a good crowd heading across. It's not the longest of journeys over to Kelty, so about half an hour from Falkirk. So I'm sure there'll be a big crowd heading over. And we're on TV again. BBC have for the third game, I think we're out of the first three games, I'm sure it's Falkirk. I've been featuring all of the games so far. So
Exactly. Obviously, the Falkirk Bairns bring viewers, that's what we're saying. I mean, they have been very up and down. It's like you say, again, every game is that must-win mentality, you know. Hamilton at the weekend, actually, let's just check who they've got at the weekend, because that'll be interesting to see.
I think they're away to Queen of the South, I think. Well,
yeah, if they're away to Queen of the South, that's going to be, you know, tough game for them, certainly. You know, we like the way, you know, Queen of the South are scoring, you hope that's potential points that could be dropped there from them, I think.
Fingers crossed. Well, if Queens are as stuffy as they were yesterday and as defensive minded, but then they are at home, they might come out a bit. Ackies haven't lost too many goals either, if we're being honest. So they might view Ackies very similar to Falkirk in terms of what the offensive situation may well be. So I think it could be another tight game down at Palmerston next week.
I'll be having a word with Marv, telling him where he went wrong on Saturday and where he's going to have to go right on Saturday coming for a CM during the week. Right, okay. So what are we thinking for the score-wise in this game, Ross?
I know we didn't score many yesterday. It was just by the one goal, but I do think there's going to be a few goals in this one. I'm going to say 3-0 Bairns.
Right, I'm going to go for a nice little 2-0, I think. I'll be interested to see if Big Agyeman comes in against his former team as well.
That would be good.
Because you can always put a wee bit of money on the former player come back to haunt you, can't you? Yeah. Yeah. So fingers crossed Alfie is fit for next week, because I think I would imagine he would go straight back in place of, Ethan Ross, who's just, like we said, he's looking a wee bit, just, and you heard in Paul Smith's interview as well, he's just a wee bit short of match fitness for that.
Yes, yeah.
So we'll see you up at Kelty. Like I say, avoid me at all costs.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to Derek. Lots of edits are needed. We should probably put out that as a separate podcast when we get it. But it was great to have him on. We obviously had Scott Steele, his brother, on last season, so it was great to have the other side of the Steele brothers on this week. You'll see Derek about the town, and obviously Elliot's as well. You'll catch him in there. Remember, you can rate, review, do what you do with podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Falkirk Daft. Watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that little ding alert thing, you know, that little thing that dings, and then you can get us whenever we drop a podcast. You'll get that flashing up for you. And obviously, you can buy merch as well. We don't punch that enough. You can get merch. Just head to merch@falkirkdaft.co.uk. merch@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Yay! And you've also got the Discord channel. All the details are in the description. You can talk to like-minded bairns. Actually, we need to check how the Falkirk women got on today. They were playing today, so let's just check quickly.
Yeah, good shout, actually, yeah.
The score of the Falkirk women, because we're recording on a Sunday just now, and they played today. And hopefully, when I type this in, it'll be a Falkirk win. Let's see, they're playing Bonnie Rig Rose, and it was 2-2. Oh, but Falkirk got a goal in the last minute. There you go.
There we go.
So well done.
John, we're going to be having Lauren Ranage, one of the Falkirk players. She's going to be coming on to the podcast very, very soon, which will be awesome. So we'll hear all about how they're getting on. And if there's any games that they want us to plug as well, we
absolutely. We've also got to put a mention, and we don't mention as well, the Fantasy Football League. If you're in Fantasy Football Scotland, we've got a Falkirk Daft League, which you can join if you've got a team set up in Fantasy Football League Scotland. I am 63rd, apparently. Oh my God, I've not changed my time.
Holy shit,
I've just seen who's second.
I was just about to tell you, because I have been keeping an eye on this, and I am doing quite well.
Oh my God, how are you pulled it? Have you got... You're clearly taking time and doing this properly, Ross. I cannot believe you're in second.
This proves that I know quite a bit about fantasy football.
Oh my God, my brother's in six. Oh, right, I'm going to have to get this sorted out. I think I've been just looking at my team. Oh yeah, I've absolutely fucked it. I've absolutely fucked it. Who have I got? I'm looking at my team, which I really need to change. I think I've still got... everyone's injured. Cantwell, Abada and Levitt, who are all injured in my starting 11. Right. I'm not having this, right, 63rd, that needs to improve. So watch out, top of the Falkirk Daft League, Ross is on your tail, so look out to Team Escocia, who are on 327 and Ross is on 324. McGlynn has got Tits FC are on 315, so watch out for that. Right, okay, that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thanks very much for listening, bit of an extended episode, we'll be back next week. Very hungover after Kelty, with stories to tell, probably. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, Ross.
Expect the unexpected, and as Derek says, since 1876.